Decision Wisconsin coverage continues. This is overnight coverage of the 2024 presidential election. Now, here to bring you through the entire evening, here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
Thanks to producer Matt for making it all easy. It's a long shift tonight, but I have volunteered for it because I always stay up for the presidential election nights. And thanks to all the people who are texting. I can't possibly read them all, but I'm going to read a couple. 855-616-1620 is the WTMJ talk and text line. I kind of miss it from my show. I don't really have a chance to do much with the text or callers. But I welcome those comments today. I got this from the 920. Hey, Steve, I'm feeling exactly how your caller feels. We had a caller a little bit earlier. It really scares me what the future of our country will be if so many Americans can overlook all of Trump's awful conduct and threats that he has made. Someday, no one is going to want to admit that they supported him, but how much damage will be done before then? I had trusted that Americans were better than this. I feel crushed to realize that we are not. Thank you for your words tonight, Wendy. Well, you're welcome. And I want to be fair about this, but I have to give a hand to Republicans because they earned this victory. Hard fought. A lot of people, including me, didn't think it was going to happen. And I hope that we don't spend the next weeks and months gloating about this because, frankly, the own the libs argument thing just drives me nuts and it seems like a waste of time. But I have that fear that that's what happened. So I'm going to try not to do that. During one of the breaks, we got a call from John from Pewaukee, and he talked to producer Matt, and he didn't want to stay in the line, but his point's a good one, and this is the being fair part. He says there are things about Donald Trump he doesn't like, but the things that spoke to him as a voter was the fact that he stood up for workers. He's someone that got laid off from a job. He saw Donald Trump, candidate Donald Trump, and former President Donald Trump, as someone who spoke for him. And that Vice President Kamala Harris didn't. Look, I'm not going to ever go out and say that Kamala Harris was a great candidate. This entire race for president was a mess. If you're talking about the Democrats, it was a mess. And when you think about it, from that moment in July when Joe Biden challenged Donald Trump to a debate and got slaughtered, let's be honest, eventually leading to his withdrawal. I was on a listener trip in Germany, and somebody asked me, because we always do an Ask Steve Anything on our listener trips, you think Biden's staying in this thing? I go, no, he's gone in 2 days. He left quicker than that. And everything since then is absolutely insane. They handed it to Kamala Harris, and I get she was vice president. But one of the reasons I think you see the results you see today is because it was essentially gifted to her. She didn't have to go through a tough primary process. As much as Democrats feared a convention that was sort of about picking a candidate among the many candidates that might have put their names out there, and maybe Kamala Harris would have still won, I don't know. Many Americans felt like it was handed to her. She hadn't earned it. And you can take what you want from that. I promise I'd give you a quick rundown of some of the swing states as we look at the election. And the race has essentially been called for Donald Trump. In Minnesota, Kamala Harris did go on to win the state with 98% of the vote. She won about 51% of the vote. Wisconsin, still not called, but right now Donald Trump has 51% of the vote. Kamala Harris just above 47 with 93% reporting. Seems pretty safe for Trump. Michigan, similar. And I just lost my screen there. Michigan, similar numbers. Pennsylvania, Trump, pretty substantial margin. Nevada and Arizona also leaning towards Trump. I think they're still open, haven't been decided yet. And again, some of this information might be a little old. Bottom line for me is this. When you have an election every 4 years, voters showed up and they showed up in big numbers. And the reason why I say this is convincing is because Donald Trump wins the popular vote. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing that he hasn't done that before. And in the biggest race of his life, post 2016, because he lost 2020, he got it done. And all those Republicans who said, he's going to win this race. Well, you were right. And whatever you think about that, you give credit where credit is due. They were correct on their assumption that Donald Trump would do well. And people like Bill McCosian, he deserves the right to crow. And I should probably text Bill and see if he wants to jump on. But I'm guessing Bill's sleeping at this point. Back to the text line. Thank you, Wisconsin, for being smart enough to see through all the absolute lies being told about Republicans, Trump and Hovde included. Still think candidates for office should stick to their plans and policies and stop lying and slandering their opponents. James Wignerson and I talked about this earlier. It's the new reality. We this is what we do. I was asked a question at an event I was at last week about politics and how we practice it. And I've said a couple things since day one on the radio. One, politics has become sports. Cheerleading for bad news because it helps your side, that's something that happens every day. And there'll be maximum gloating on the radio and TV tomorrow by people who are partisan talkers. And they probably deserve that day because they're right. And I want to address this text, and I'll do a little bit before the break, and then we'll go to break. And we also got a clip from J.D. Vance, who was at the, of course, at the speech by Donald Trump, and he was introduced by the president, now president-elect. And we'll play a little bit of his clip probably after the break, who, at a very young age, I think 39, has been a senator in Ohio, and now will be vice president of the United States in January. Pretty meteoric rise, and we talked about that earlier with the future candidates, obviously not thinking too far ahead because it's still 2024, but 2028, Republicans have some pretty good choices to pick from having these results tonight. I'm thinking about this from a perspective of a radio talk show host, and I'm going to do some of this tomorrow morning at 9 and probably at 10 as well. What it means next for Wisconsin. And the reason I say that is this. We certainly are impacted by Washington, what Congress does and doesn't do. And I think for me, one of the things I'll be watching in this sort of post-January reality is, it's the one thing I can't get past with Donald Trump. When you're talking about removing people from this country or putting them in camps, deporting them, I know because I've worked in and around all these industries, landscaping, construction, drywall industry, dairy. A lot of the individuals that Donald Trump is talking about work in those sectors. And that's a hard reality. And even to the point that where John was saying he doesn't necessarily, John from Pewaukee, who called earlier but didn't couldn't go on the air, he doesn't even support those pieces of Trump's policies. That's going to be a hard one for a lot of voters and a lot of residents of Wisconsin. And I'll just put this out there. If those sort of enforcements happen, you talk about impacting the economy in the state of Wisconsin, pretty significant. We'll take a break. Welcome your texts, 855-616-1620. We are doing an expanded all-live edition overnight. Late night Decision Wisconsin. I'm your host, Steve Scafidi. I host the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. And our coverage is not going to stop at 5. Eric and Vince, expanded edition of Wisconsin Morning News, one of the best morning programs in the state of Wisconsin, probably beyond. Lots to cover. They're going to cover the stuff I can't get to. Two really good journalists talking about politics and a big day for Republicans. And I'm sure on the rest of the lineup throughout the day, including 9 to 11, I'll be talking about it as well. Quick break here on 620 WTMJ.
Well, Mr. President, I appreciate you allowing me to join you on this incredible journey. I thank you for the trust that you placed in me. And I think that we just witnessed the greatest political comeback in the history of the United States of America. And under President Trump, Trump's leadership, we're never going to stop fighting for you, for your dreams, for the future of your children. And after the greatest political comeback in American history, we're going to lead the greatest economic comeback in American history under Donald Trump's leadership.
That is J.D. Vance, Ohio senator, and now vice president-elect. And I know they're still sorting out the numbers, but it's basically determined at this point. I watch a lot of the screens in the studio, the monitors, and we're all talking about, you know, possibilities and stuff, but this race is over for the most part. I mean, we're still wondering what's going to happen in the U.S. Senate race in Wisconsin. Right now, Eric Hovde has a lead there, and Tammy Baldwin has not conceded. So we'll talk a little bit about that probably after I'm done. And then, of course, on my show this morning, Expanded Edition 9 to 11, right here on 620 WTMJ. Got a bunch of texts I'll read, but we have a caller. Jeremy joins us on the WTMJ phone lines.
Yeah, how are you doing today?
Good.
How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Yeah. I'm willing to accept Trump as president as long as they put Fallon in front of the President Trump and all the news and journal and everything like that. You know, it's to remind people that we do have a felon that is a president. It's a first, probably, I believe, in the United States history and in most countries. The other thing is the one thing that really bothered me about this whole election was that Trump was for justice. He's a felon. He's broken laws. And Kamala Harris is supposedly for criminals, but she was a DA and a prosecutor. So I can't, you know, like the hypocrisy with that was just, I thought was unbelievable.
What did you think of my comments earlier when I said, I understand all of that. I was on that side of the equation. I didn't think he was fit to serve again. But America has voted pretty overwhelmingly. They've said, you know what? He's the guy.
Yeah, you're not going to see me storming his compound down in Florida. You know, I don't think you're going to see any Democrats doing that. You know, I just, you know, he won basically by fear, just trying to instill fear in everybody. That's his whole campaign. And I don't think that's how you should lead a country. I mean, truth be told, anybody that's educated in any world history, that it's, you know, fear and telling lies and bashing the news and stuff like that sounds like a dictator. I'm not saying he is a dictator. He just sounds like one. You know, I wish we would have had a better candidate to run against him. And I think, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, like you said, Kamala coming in so late hurt her. And the fact that maybe she's a woman, and I hate this, and I'm not saying that, you know, that's a, you know, the reason why she lost is she's a woman. But there are a lot of people out there that I know that voted Republican just because they just don't think a woman can run a presidency.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Hey, thanks, Jeremy, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate you taking the time to do that. So, a couple things. One, Jeremy speaks for a lot of people. They're not going to get over the felon piece of this story. And as far as I can tell, that doesn't really go away, although no, I don't think there's going to be any penalty beyond whatever he has been asked to pay in the civil decision against him. And then we'll see how that sorts out, because at this point, who knows? You can say what you want about Donald Trump, and I'm not a fan, but his lawyers have brilliantly fought back in cases that most people, myself included, on some of the documents case, I thought it was open and shut. Boom, done. Where's that now? Real quick before we get to our next break, there are some people who are very happy tonight, besides Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and their families. Reince Priebus, former Trump chief of staff, who's sort of led the efforts. I think he's the biggest reason Donald Trump was the candidate. Maybe he won't say that, but I'm saying it. Who works very diligently on behalf of Republicans, led a lot of the efforts to get the RNC here. He's won. My friend Bill McCoshin speaks very highly of him. The chair of the GOP in Wisconsin, Brian Schimming, deserves some credit as well. He's not loved by everybody, but he certainly, in this case, got it done. We'll see what happens in the Senate race. Former Governor Scott Walker, strong advocate for Donald Trump. There's things I like about the governor, things I don't like. I'm not a fan of gloating. We're going to see some gloating from both Reince Priebus, maybe not so much from him, but from former Governor Scott Walker. I frankly, it's one of the reasons I'm getting off of Twitter. Probably by the end of this week, I'm still going to be there, but I'm not going to respond or post anything on that platform because I'm optimistic. Maybe it'll come back to a point where I can actually respect it. Because frankly, the anonymous posting, the hate-filled posts, just frankly don't serve the public interest. And as I say often to people, maybe you need to take a breather from politics. I get a lot of texts during the show, and certainly I got a lot of texts during this show. And some are just as simple as this. Dennis and Stacy, just a sad day for our kids and grandkids. I've heard that probably 50 times in text since I started at 11 o'clock. A lot of people feel that way. Winners and losers. We have a race this important, happens every 4 years. One side is elated. The other side wants to step away, not think about it, or perhaps think too much. And to Dennis and Stacy, I don't have the answer here. I worry as well. Not necessarily because of this race, but because of the tone of the country and the way we disagree with each other. And it's not just parties. It's people going against people. It's the loud guy in the line at the grocery store who disrespects people or uses language that's offensive. It's a candidate for an office who's using words that, frankly, most of us stopped using. Calling their opponents trash. There was a answer to a question, again, at an event I was at last week, where I said, the problem I have with people who do this, problem I have with talkers who do it on the radio and TV, problem I have with candidates who do it, or elected officials who do it, is because at some point, we need role models that actually demonstrate behavior that's worth emulating. And if you're using destructive, horrific language to describe someone who's running against you or a group of people in a country as great as this, I think we're missing something. I think we're not getting the best of people. From the text line, thanks for volunteering for the overnight tonight, having to work third shift and appreciating the coverage. As a Democrat, I'm not happy with the results. As a father of two mixed-race daughters, I'm very nervous for the future they'll inherit. I hear you. But I'm trying to tell myself, this is, again, from the text, with this result, hopefully the economy will get better. The value of my house will go up. Dems need to do some serious soul searching. I agree with you on that. And stop letting the far left hijack the party and messaging. Stop listening to the squad and focus on what matters to most Americans. The economy, women's rights. Harris didn't either, in my opinion. That's Todd in Cedarburg. Well said. From the 262, reelecting President Trump is like making the U.S. regress to the height of Pleasantville. Something Democrats clearly feared, and hence why they kept encouraging us to look ahead. A couple more before we go to break. Steve, there's a guy by the name of Dick Morris. I remember Dick Morris. Wrote a book called The Return, Trump's Big 2024 Comeback. I remember hearing about it on a late-night radio show at the time. Thought nothing of it, but apparently we should have all read it because here we are with Trump again as the next president. That's from Chris. I welcome your texts and comments and questions. And your phone calls, which is something I have not done for probably almost a year on my show. 855-616-1620, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. All night edition of Decision Wisconsin. You know where you're at, 620 WTMJ. Decision Wisconsin, late night edition. It's been fun. I know a lot of people go, why in the heck are you doing this? But I haven't had a chance to kind of flex this many hours. I don't think I've ever done 6 hours. So that's one thing. And then I'll be doing two more at 9. So thanks for putting up with me. And thanks for tuning in. I got a lot of texts. I'm trying to read just a sampling because it's both sides. And I asked early when I started the show. And by the way, thanks to Joseph Pecky and James Wigerson for joining. Jeremy Janine. All of our great teammates here who did a lot of great coverage at all the events. And they did a lot of heavy lifting for the John McCure and Dr. Ken and Jessica Tai and Kristen Bry show. Sort of the primetime edition of Decision Wisconsin. And it's sort of a, I don't want to say a release valve, pressure release, because I would be sitting at home saying things to myself, probably, because my wife would be in the other room not going, who are you talking to? And I don't want to overstate this, but it's the classic every 4 years, half the country's excited, half the country's disappointed. And I guess the rub is what you do with that. Because I always remind people, we put these people in office. If you don't like what's happening, then replace that person or choose somebody else. And I've probably said this a dozen times already, but America has spoken on this. There are really, other than a few close races in different states, and maybe even including the Senate race, I don't know enough about the race sitting here to tell you what's going to happen in the Hovde Baldwin race, but the Baldwin campaign has essentially put out a statement that they think they can still make those votes back. Whether that's true or not, no idea. And smarter people than me will sort of sort the numbers as we get the Milwaukee numbers at some point, the final numbers, and that might be happening pretty soon to now. We'll have a better idea. It doesn't feel like Baldwin's going to make it up. And James Wigerson and I talked earlier about the fatigue that sets in, sort of a unspoken retirement, right? Unspoken term limit for some candidates. Although Ron Johnson, now a 3-term U.S. Senator. Text from the 414. You're welcome to join us. 855-616-1620. The WTMJ Talk and Text Line. Phone calls are welcome as well. We've talked to a few folks, which is nice because I haven't done it in a while. From the 414, the American people smartly recognize that the indictments and impeachments of Donald Trump were truly political and attempts by political people in our justice system to use the system for their own election interference. Shame on them. Not on Donald Trump. Thank God the people saw through this. People tried to impeach him, indict him, even kill him, and American voters saw through it all. I can tell you there's a lot of Americans feel that same way. Whatever you think about the president, former and president-elect now Donald Trump, he has enemies and he has, as we saw tonight, people who absolutely adore him. And we've had all kinds of politicians in our 200-plus years of U.S. history. Some feared, some hated, some loved, some respected. I don't believe when Donald Trump says that he's the greatest president of all time. I don't believe that's true. But he's been bombastic. He certainly has a big ego. And I don't think that's a surprise that he would say that. I just don't think he's even in the ballpark. And as James Wigerson said, Washington, Lincoln, there's quite a few that have sort of served at that highest level. 855-616-1620 is the WTMJ talk and text line. Somebody asked me earlier on the text line, and I asked James this, and I think Joe when he was here, what comes next? And I'm going to do some of this on the show at 9 today as we sort of sort all this out. There's like a lot of things that are still happening. We're still counting votes in states like Nevada and Arizona, still counting votes in Wisconsin, apparently, Michigan. For some reason, Maine is not decided. I haven't had the time to go sort that out, or at least the one of the networks forgot to color it in. So that's still out there. Here's the reality as we speak, sort of resetting the table here. Donald Trump will be the president in January. We'll have a Senate led by Republicans, and they'll have to sort out who the majority leader is. Right now, Republicans have picked up 3 seats in the House. They already had a slim majority. I think it was 218. So we may have a united Congress with the presidents, and depending how you look at the U.S. Supreme Court, a very conservative-leaning U.S. Supreme Court, which is not breaking news, all sort of working towards the same end. And I mentioned this before, I think this is important to sort of highlight from those not on the winning side. The question of abortion is going to be one that at some point we have to settle, whether that means the states settle it or there's some sort of an abortion ban, which the president has said, Donald Trump, president-elect, he would not support. At least I saw it in a commercial. The states are going to decide this. And as I said earlier, how that shakes out, I have no idea. Many states have codified abortion. Many states have gone the other way with abortion limits or bans. It's always been a contentious issue. I remember having argument about this in college, and I graduated from college in 1983. Those arguments don't go away. Still time to jump into the conversation. We've got some audio we're going to play from the president-elect, former President Donald Trump. We'll do that after the break. Join us, 855-616-1620. We're still waiting for the final numbers, as close as we can get to the final determination in the Hovde Baldwin race. If I see something pop up, we'll certainly bring that to you. We'll bring you all the news of Decision Wisconsin throughout the day coming up here. I'll be back at 9 to 11. Looking forward to that show as well. I'm supposed to sleep between 5 and 9. I don't think that's going to happen. I might just go eat breakfast. Producer Matt gives me the thumbs up. I feel like bacon and eggs might be the remedy that I need. What do you think, Matt? Should I do the bacon and eggs?
It could work.
Yeah.
You've had plenty of coffee.
Somebody asked me to do a coffee count. I think it's 8 cups. Is that too much? I actually feel pretty good, though. All right, we got to take a break. Lots more to get to. You can join the conversation, 855-616-1620. Thanks for hanging out with me on an all-night edition of Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ. Welcome to Decision Wisconsin. I'm your host, Steve Scafidi, host of the Political Power Hour, also 9 to 10, Monday through Friday, right here on WTMJ, host of the Scafidiology Podcast, where I get to talk about everything else other than politics. And this week, for all the hunters out there, I'm going to be talking about deer hunting with gun deer season in a few weeks with Paul Smith, outdoors editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Always a fun. I do an annual conversation with him. That'll be Friday Scafidiology. So if you're a hunter, certainly you can find it there. I do all the Decision Wisconsin podcasts, or most of them. Which brings me to the subject of Twitter. How is that relevant, you might say? And I know it's called X now. I refuse to endorse the change because it's stupid and dumb, my opinion. So I've announced that I'm going to step away from Twitter. I'm not going to scrub my account because it's not fair to the 7,000 people or whoever I follow. I may come back at some point, maybe if they have new ownership or if I like the platform. It just seems dumb to me. It's dominated by people who have no real profile, anonymous. And as somebody who does what I do, you're bombarded with all of the nonsense of politics. To a point where I started blocking people. It's like, dude, you've overstepped the line. You're making threats. I'm not going to. So I get away. But it doesn't mean that before I leave, which will be sometime either this week or next, I can't sample some of the things that are people saying on the Twitter. From as simple as people saying, let's go, or let's effing go with the Trump victory. Well, let's see what happens. So people like Craig Gilbert, great journalist. Yes, he says, 2 hours ago, yes, Wisconsin Senate is going to be close. There are potentially more than enough Democratic votes left to erase Hovde's lead over Baldwin, though there are some GOP votes out there too. People like Joe Handrick, who is a great follow on Twitter. You can find him at Joe Manakwa. It's going to be close. With Hovde up 63,000, it may not be enough to withstand the Milwaukee, Racine, Green Bay, Oshkosh vote yet to come in. My numbers, this is from Joe Handrick, suggest a Dem will net more than 63,000 from those. So that's really the big race that we're all kind of looking at. My friend Dan Schaefer on Twitter, direct quote, source in the Baldwin campaign says they are confident with the remaining votes left to count in a Democratic strongholds, adding, we will take the lead and we will win. So Tammy Baldwin not conceding. Daniel Bice, what do they call him over there? Watchdog reporter. He's really good. I know people give him grief. He's really good at what he does. Another reason to support real journalists. He says this on Twitter, Baldwin campaign is growing in confidence that she will beat Hovde, said one source. They're very confident. We will take the lead and we will win. He's direct quoting the Baldwin campaign there. From J.R. Ross on Twitter, Wisconsin Senate Dems pick up the 3 seats needed to keep the door open in 26 to flipping control of the state Senate. Wouldn't that be something? Obviously, with the new district lines. Jody Habersinikin, Sarah Kayeski, and Jamie Wall all declare victory. That's significant. And obviously, Dan Schaefer is probably one of the best at sort of sorting that out. The guy writes incredibly detailed analysis of all of the House Assembly, rather, and Senate races in Wisconsin, and about as good as it gets when it comes to analyzing that stuff. And I know some people don't like him because he's, as I call him, an advocacy journalist. It is pretty impressive that he cranks that kind of work out. Colin Rugg, who I don't know, but put this on Twitter. Jake Tapper visibly stunned after seeing a massive swing of 20 points with independents from Biden in 2020 to Trump in 2024 in Georgia. I actually wrote that on my show notes earlier because I don't think any of the talking heads, and I like Jake Tapper. He does a show called The Lead on CNN in the afternoons, which is sort of when I watch television now and I kind of stay away from the nighttime stuff because it's just partisan BS. That was one of my show notes, that he was going to make that up. And it's a huge chunk of the Georgia vote. 31% of their electorate is independents. And I'm looking at these states because I wrote down a ton of stuff before the show. Georgia in 2016, Trump. Biden took it back in 2020. Tonight, Trump. North Carolina, solid for Trump all three presidential cycles. Wisconsin, Trump in 2016. Remember that? Biden 2020. All the election shenanigans that Republicans charge, Trump in 2024. Pennsylvania, by all accounts, it looks like Trump will take that, recapturing his 2016 win. Same thing in Michigan. States that Biden won in 2020, which enabled him to win the presidency. So sort of a sampling of what's out there on Twitter. And finally, because I love my guy Bill McCoshin, Republican strategist, who joins me every Friday on the Friday edition of the Political Power Hour. He retweets Andrew Clark, who says, now projecting Trump winning the popular vote by 0.3 points. First time that's predicted all night. It's sort of an incredible accomplishment. As much as people are going to complain if you're a Democrat and you're a Harris supporter about, you know, these scenarios and how elections shake out, if he wins the popular vote, that's pretty remarkable. Given all the things we've talked about, all the court cases and the nonsense and the things that he says that infuriate most people, including some Republicans. After the break, as I wind it up to the 4 o'clock hour news, so much to talk about. But where we go next in Wisconsin, in our country, after this on WTMJ.
We made history for a reason tonight, and the reason is going to be just that. We overcame obstacles that nobody thought possible, and it is now clear that we've achieved the most incredible political thing. Look what happened. Is this crazy?
President-elect, former president, he's got both titles now, Donald Trump, speaking to his supporters in Florida tonight. God, I don't know when that was, about 2 hours ago, something like that. I've been on the air since 11. One more hour to go, basically. And then I'll take a little bit of a break. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep, but I'm going to be back at 9 for expanded edition of the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. 9 o'clock, you just get me. At 10, you'll get some guests along with me as we sort out the details. Maybe we'll know the Hovde Baldwin results by then. From the WTMJ talking text line, I read them all. Steve, you're the dumb one. Great victory. I don't know if that's intended to hurt my feelings, but it doesn't. For the 262, Wall Street loves gridlock. So with it looking like all Republican leadership in Washington, I predict the financial markets will react exactly opposite what Trump voters expect. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. Markets have been on fire this year. And they've taken a little bit of a cut lately. But, I mean, given where we're at with this market performance, people forget we were at, like, what, 18 in the heat of the pandemic, and those of us with 401ks or investments or savings that are invested in the markets are reaping the benefits, which brings me to my conversation about the economy. Steve, this is from the 715. Perfect segue to a texter. I felt that the Democrats never really connected with the financial struggle the blue-collar workers have felt over the past few years. We had a call earlier who made that case. He was laid off from his job, and he said, you're not expressing what we feel. One of the reasons Donald Trump got the support, I'm paraphrasing now, is because we felt that pain. I'm not denying that. My point on this has always been, let's not make it worse. There are a lot of good indications that the economy is doing well. Let's not make it worse. Texter goes on to say, even you would chastise the mood by downplaying it. You would keep reiterating the Democratic line that the economy really isn't that bad. All the people going out to eat on vacation, those are true things. I'm not making that up. Airlines, full. Vacation places, full. Restaurants, full. Online sales, crazy. You live on in a neighborhood, you see the trucks. I can't stand outside for 5 minutes without a delivery truck either stopping at my house, thanks to my wife Kathy, or driving by to someone else's house. So I'll continue with the text. Every time the gas prices would go down, you would sneer in glee. See, it's not that bad. My point, texter from the 715, is when you make it about the election and politics, you find yourself, if you do that, cheerleading for bad news, which whatever you think the current state of the economy is, you're making it worse. From the 414, good to hear your calm, rational voice, Steve. Thank you. You're welcome. I volunteered for this shift because I love doing this. This is payback for a life in the private sector, public sector, and the great opportunity I've had at WTMJ. And oh, by the way, we're doing just fine. Case in point, the work done on the election going all the way back to when this whole thing started. Covering the RNC, this is a commercial for all of us who work here. Covering the DNC, covering the debates, covering the assassination attempt when we came in here, Vince, John, myself, some of our news team, and cover that incredible story, which, but for the grace of God and a couple inches, could have taken the life of a former president. Another one of those crazy episodes in this strange run-up to 2024. From the 262, people are charging credit cards for those leisure activities and trips. Credit debt is at an all-time high. I'm not denying that. But that's a conscious decision made by people that they want to spend versus the opposite, where they're not spending at all because they're afraid. Texter makes my point. If the American economy is so bad, then why are Americans spending record levels on travel and leisure? It's true. I've traveled a lot in the sort of the last 3 years post-pandemic. And I tell you, people are filling the airports and filling the planes. From the 715, if he wins the popular vote that will prove his visits to those blue states, New Jersey, New York, California paid off, pay attention to all voters and you will win. I actually like that point because it suggests to me that even when you're most disappointed with the results today or tonight, it demonstrates sort of the fantastic thing about this country. We can have elections which are actually counted, not fake counting like they do in Russia and some of the other countries in the world, but actual counting of the votes. And if your side doesn't win, well, you work harder next time. Keep in mind, the two Trump terms are sandwiched around a Biden term. Republican, Democrat, Republican. And as you go through our history timeline, sort of how it works. One party doesn't own the government. Things change. Economies change. Sometimes even the rules change. And for all the people who don't like Donald Trump, this is now his economy in January. When he says he has great relationship with these dictators in the world, it's yours. Show us how that benefits the United States. When you claim that we're not going to be in wars, how does that work? All of these things in January will be on that candidate's then president. And that's the best measure of how to figure this stuff out. Show me what you can do. And whether second term Trump is different or better or worse than first term Trump, we're going to find out. Keep those texts coming. Really enjoy reading them. We got a whole hour left. I might have Eric jump in if he's got some breaking news on how the Baldwin race or whatever else is on young Eric's mind. I call him young because he's like 20 years younger than me, but he's been around forever, that guy. He's like a veteran journalist here at WTMJ. All right. We'll have news updates. We'll hear from our great partners at WTMJ, and then back with your texts and maybe some calls as we wind it down, or wind it up, I should say, till 5 a.m. with an expanded edition of Wisconsin's Morning News with Vince and Eric. News is next on WTMJ.